know you're broken hearted, cause the piece you're hoping for.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other Podcast, TheLineEdBoard.com. You know all the rest. This is Robert. I am sitting in my kitchen with Carmen and Tyler. We were out till 2:30 in the morning. Now we're going to record a morning podcast. We're also going to eat Uncrustables live on the air because I've never had an Uncrustable in my life. And Carmen went to the store to get them. So we're letting them defrost. Apparently you put them out and let them defrost for 30 minutes.
It's the exact time is key, because if you get into it too early, you're going to find that the middle is still a little bit frozen. It's going to be a disappointing experience.
What if it's too late?
It's too late. Then the bread dries out.
Oh.
And also, so there's a perfect window of Uncrustable.
What time did we get them out of the box?
About 20 minutes ago.
Okay. So somebody want to set a timer for 10 minutes?
Or we just got to go by feel. I'll tell you when it's
okay.
Ready.
You got to understand it. I'm actually jealous of Robert not having had an Uncrustable yet. And this is the guy I'm going to be witnessing his first Uncrustable experience. That this modern marvel of culinary science.
Okay. So I've seen the Uncrustables. I've put them in the category of my brain with the toaster strudel, which I tried once and I didn't like very much. I'm a Pop-Tart guy.
Too sweet.
I don't like the toaster strudel is way too much. So anytime I've seen the Uncrustable, I'm just gonna be honest here. I thought it was like a toaster strudel kind of thing. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know it was in the peanut butter and jelly category.
Yeah. It's 6 year old food. Don't get me wrong. But yes. It's as Karma was saying earlier, and I'll let him say it's the perfect golf course food too.
Mm-hmm.
At the turn, go in your bag and pull out an Uncrustable.
Yeah, but you eat all healthy and like chicken breast and all that stuff. Why do you have Uncrustables in your freezer?
For the golf course. So
yes,
instead of a greasy hot dog after 9, you eat an Uncrustable and continue on to the 10th tee and hopefully continue a good round.
Okay, second part of this. So the whole little like message on the front for the kid when they pull it out at lunch at school says you rock.
Yeah.
You don't like feel weird about eating that? Like you don't have like this, wait, I'm eating like, you know, like this Gerber kind of food. You don't have that feeling?
When you look at what I can only describe as the perfect ratio of peanut butter to jelly, you will forget that you are eating food designed for kindergartners.
In T-minus 9 minutes, 8 minutes. What's Northwestern Michigan State score?
38-33 at the half.
At the half, with no Pete Nance.
With no Pete Nance. But...
And Carmen, what's going to happen in the last 4 minutes of this game?
A lot of free throws for Michigan State and a lot of offensive rebounds.
Oh, who are the refs? Who are the refs? See if it's somebody who's in Izzo's pocket. I can look that up. I have a phone here, too. I don't know what we're doing. Okay.
We might talk about Illinois-Michigan basketball. We might not.
We might not. Let's talk about what we... The first topic in my brain is what we were talking about last night. So we're sitting at Mary Ann's. We're trying to name every NCAA title winner from... What did we go back to?
We went to 73. Since UCLA. Post-UCLA was when we started.
We went 73 to now. And by far the hardest decade to name the champ was the 2010s. By a factor of 5. I don't think... What did we get? 4 of the 10, maybe?
Well, the last three years we got the two champions and the one year we didn't play.
Yes. And then, like, who knows when UConn won, when Duke won. Like, they're indistinguishable.
So here's
seasons.
My theory on that, and I think you'll probably back me up. Tell me you didn't lose interest in college basketball on the whole when we were wandering aimlessly through that decade.
That's a great point.
You just don't – you're not as invested in it when Illinois is not where we want to be and where we hopefully are now currently, as we're seeing.
That is a great point.
And so I just think it wasn't as, you know, in the from 1985 through 2010, you know, it was,
yeah,
we were invested.
cared that much. But even that, like, I, you know, like 83 NC State means something. You know, that I think so many fans could maybe get 83 NC State just because of the Valvano. And then 84 Georgetown.
And
then
85 Villanova. Yeah.
Like there were stories to it. Like when was Duke's that we couldn't figure out? 2014? When they beat Wisconsin? 2015?
Yeah. But
who was even on the Duke? Who even?
Well, that's also your one and done era as well, where in the 80s, somewhat in the 90s, you still had 3-4 year players. So you,
that's a good point.
You kind of, so you know, the starters of the yeah. championship teams.
You knew Fi Slamma Jamma yes. of Houston. You knew what they had. There was a name. They had a nickname. Yes. You knew Valvano running around. You knew, I remember Harold Jensen and Villanova's second half with McLean and McLean hitting, what did they shoot, like 78% in the second half or whatever?
All two-point field goals.
Yes, all 14-foot jumpers that all went in.
And legendary coaches.
Yes, yes. And now it's, oh, who did Kay have in 2015 when they beat Wisconsin? You know, the Duke team that beat Butler in 10, was that the Shire team?
Yeah, see, I remember individuals. Like, obviously, I remember Gordon Hayward's half-point, I mean, yeah. three-quarter court shot that just barely went out. So, yeah, I remember pieces of these games. Like, when we're going through the list, and I'm like, oh, yeah, remember this that happened, and immediately you can recall the winner. But I admit the players at this point kind of run together. Like, when was Jahlil Okafor? When was Jabari Parker? You know, these guys just kind of are random Duke names that were there and gone. Kyrie Irving, who was only there for 9 games, but...
Did we announce Jabari Parker at the basketball game at halftime?
For some reason, we did.
Why?
I don't know. And it said Boston Celtics. And then the guy sitting behind me said he got cut by the Celtics a week ago or something like that. So I don't even know that.
I didn't know Jabari Parker was still an active NBA player.
Yes.
And he turned us down.
Yes. Good point. Oh, wait. So you were a little pissy.
I was like, why are we doing this?
Yes. I love it.
I was not happy with the scoreboard operator with the pregame and that.
What in the pregame were you mad about? Let's get into this is the Carmen's Bitterness section before the Uncrustable section.
The introduction was about a minute of the Illinois-Michigan highlights from last year with the final score, where I think the entire Michigan bench was watching. Mm-hmm. So
quality trolling, by the way. I love that.
But you don't want to do that. You don't want to fire him up.
Right. You save that for after the game. I'm like, we better win now.
So not the scoreboard. Not the scoreboard operator. You're talking about the hype video.
The hype video.
Manager.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Coordinator.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think you do that before the game.
Mm-hmm. How much did this have to do that there was a Michigan fan across the aisle from you?
Didn't bother me at all.
It didn't bother you at all?
No.
You had no issues with the Michigan fan?
I had a very congenial evening with the Michigan fan next to you.
Quite pleasurable evening.
How was his evening?
Not very pleasurable.
I need to make an announcement.
Okay.
Yes. I believe these are ready.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
It's texture. Yeah, not time, it's texture.
In front of the mic. Yeah.
Oh, these are ready.
Okay.
Let the record show also, these are B-plus Uncrustables. These are strawberry. Uh-huh. Not great because... Grape was sold out, and completely empty shelving of.
Where'd you go, Walmart? Savoy Walmart. Get your act together when it comes to.
Okay. Oh, so good.
Okay, here we go.
I want to go play golf right now.
We're there, on the.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Not
yeah.
frozen. Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Which looks like peanut butter jelly, peanut butter.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying about the ratio. It's perfect. Somehow this whatever scientific genius and figured out this ratio and this ability to perfectly align it within this crust of bread deserves a Nobel Peace Prize.
This is going to be the dumbest thing you've probably ever heard me say. I just now understand what the word uncrustable means.
Oh, yeah.
That this is basically somebody taking the white bread, peanut butter and jelly, and cutting the crust off.
Like you did in kindergarten.
Yes.
This is kindergarten food.
I just made that connection.
The peanut butter hits you first, and then you get the filling second. It's perfect.
Oh.
Why did I think this was a breakfast toaster strudel kind of thing?
I don't know.
This is lunch food.
Yes.
I mean, this...
Well, I wouldn't go that. It's late night snack food. It is...
It could be train food.
Train food? There
it
you go.
Could be. I need good drink. Wait. So how long until...
10 hours. Thawed.
You have 10 hours.
10 hours.
Okay, so I have it frozen. I toss it in my bag. I get on the train to Washington,
D.C. What time does the train leave?
Okay, let's see. I think I leave here at 10:15. I get to Chicago, and then I have like a layover in Chicago. I think it leaves at like 5 p.m. for D.C.
All right, so that's Union Station train food.
So if I can be in Union Station, maybe that one food shop in Union Station has Uncrustables, and I could just, if I could grab some frozen ones there, then they're slowly defrosting in my bag in my little personal train car. Maybe I could get the attendant to toss them in the freezer for me.
Maybe, but if the Savoy Walmart is out of Uncrustables, I'm not sure I'm liking your odds at the Union Station.
Meyer will come through for me.
There's a CVS or Walgreens. They might have them that you can just go upstairs.
So then, like, when I'm in D.C. and after the game and I'm getting back on the train and heading back this way, yeah, I guess I could toss in the freezer in the hotel room fridge, maybe? My hotel room fridge in Minneapolis was a freezer. I put, like, some milk in there, and then in the morning, just solid as a rock. Right, not in the freezer, just in the fridge. Anyway, this is great. This is a Illini talk. This is really good, by the way. Like, better than I thought it was.
Right? Yes. And we talked it up. Carmen and I were concerned that we were overplaying it a little bit and that it was going to be a disappointment ultimately, but yeah.
And on the golf course and the turn, it's the perfect amount of food. All you need is one.
Yeah, and there's no stickiness
no
to the hand.
No, it's clean.
No, it's clean.
It's really, where have I been? How do they get the jelly to defrost that quickly?
Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes.
Engineering marvel.
That's
right
why
there.
You have to wait. You have to. You can't say, yeah, it's 30 minutes, but is it 27 minutes? Because if you're in too early and the center's frozen,
yep.
It's just deflating a little bit. So, yeah.
That is really impressive.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you guys were talking it up, and it was, why did I have this? Maybe that's on them. Maybe it's on them that they put this in my mind in the realm of breakfast foods when it's clearly lunch food. I'm not kidding. That's really good.
Yeah.
Like, I love a chewy bread like that.
Just imagine 90 degrees, walking 9 holes at the turn.
Yep.
Don't want something heavy.
Yep.
But you need something to get you through for the back 9.
There have to be some PGA Tour players that hit the Uncrustables, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay. Where were we? NC State? Duke teams that nobody cares about?
Gordon Hayward. I'm still on the intro of the Michigan-Illinois game. But that's all right.
Oh.
Tyler didn't mind it, by the way.
I thought it was a quality. The Illinois social media team has been on point. That tweet that they sent out after the Maryland game, excuse me.
Yeah.
With Kofi's head superimposed on the Jordan picture, and I took that personally because had you seen that?
No.
So the backstory is
I'll pull up
the Maryland social media page. Their homepage of their basketball program, it had tweeted earlier in the day that the Maryland was undefeated in their last 4 trips to the State Farm Center. And so after the game, after we had won, our response from our social media team from the Illinois basketball page was a little screenshot of Maryland's tweet with a picture of Jordan sitting on his couch from the documentary, the Last Dance documentary. But it's got Kofi's head superimposed on Jordan's body and the caption. And I took that personally. So just classic stuff.
I'm going to really find it, good. But there's a lot of tweets between here and there.
Yeah.
And we also need to talk about those road uniforms that Michigan wore, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I should talk
Hawkeyes.
About that.
You should.
That my tweet yesterday that no one responded to, that no one understood, was a photo of an Alabama football coach at practice in 2008, he was caught on a hot mic. This is the year after. This is Saban's second year. In Saban's first year, they went 6-6 and lost to Louisiana Monroe at home. Alabama had been really bad under Shula the years before, so no one looked at them as Alabama. They were basically the way you look at Texas right now, like, you know, just fumbling their way through and just can't get it together. And they're hiring Mike Price, and he's getting fired. And they're hiring Shula, and they just there's just a total disaster. They go 6-6. Nobody's thinking about it. They're playing Georgia the next year, and one of the strength coaches at a warm-up is caught on a hot mic because Georgia has announced the game as a blackout, and they're wearing black uniforms. As the guy on the hot mic says, they're wearing black because they're going to a bleeping funeral. And so that was my reference last night, that Michigan was going to wear their quote-unquote super dark blue black jerseys. And so my reference on Twitter was, they're wearing black because they're going to a funeral. And they were. I mean, it was a very pleasant funeral for them for 36 minutes. or for 34 minutes, and then, you know, the Trent takeover. We'll get to that in a bit, because I still want to talk about what Carmen's fan experience, and I still want to talk about our discussion last night. So let's go back to the stands. What your view, Carmen, sitting in the stands, was of the crowd and the game and how it was going last night?
It was surprisingly a late arriving crowd for an 8 p.m. start.
I think a lot of that has to do with the checking the COVID cards, like could checking be. The vaccine cards. Like that was a, I think, you know, I was tweeting that it was really pretty quiet at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like six people tweeting back saying, that's because I'm still standing outside waiting in line to show my vaccine card. So
and part of it was, part was that. Also the flow of the game. Literally there was a stoppage every two possessions.
Yes.
Total two possessions. There was a whistle. There was what? We were in the bonus at the 11-minute mark of the first half, somewhere right around there.
Double bonus at the 8-minute.
8-minute.
And no free throws past that point.
Yeah.
Just a
There was just stoppage comment. The whole time. Every time we thought we would stretch it out to 6-8, there was a whistle. And but that's exactly the game plan Howard had.
There's your Kofi. I took that personally. I finally found it.
Ah, there we go.
And so, yeah, I mean, I guess we can just go in. Like, yeah, both teams were 0-6 to start from three.
From three, yep.
Yeah, so 12 three-pointers taken and not one made. Like, it was ugly. I don't even think it was, like, great defense basketball. Like, it wasn't that kind of, like, oh, total defensive lockdown by both teams.
It was 26-22 at half.
Yeah.
There was some bad basketball being played on both sides.
Yeah.
And there are basically two things that rev a crowd up. It's dunks and three-pointers. We had one three-pointer in the first half and zero dunks. Just there wasn't. It was a disjointed game, you know, as Carmen was saying, because of the whistles, and there just never was any chance for the crowd to get into it.
And I also have this theory that, like, I'm going to try and say this without it making it some, like, COVID thing. Like, being in masks and such, still, it doesn't, you don't get the same feeling as, you know, you could tell your voice is muted a little bit. I feel like the fact, you know, or even the thought of like, hey, don't scream or don't be coughing in public or whatever. You know, there's that. I feel like that still kind of hangs over a crowd now that we're back to crowds with COVID and people in masks. There's still this sense of like, don't go too crazy. Like everybody's still kind of reserved from the pandemic. And I've noticed that at other places too. Like, even at Iowa and everything else, that there's a bit of a hesitation to crowds now, that it's not as raucous and just out there energy as it used to be.
How about a shout out to the crush that showed up though?
Yes. Yes.
How many were there, you think?
100? Seemed like about half full.
Yeah, they got, what was it? They sold those, if Crush kids wanted their seats, they could get them, buy them separate, not as part of their season ticket package. And then once they had given them the option, they sold to old people at Carmen.
Yeah. Yep. I should say half. The section was full, but it was half populated with actual Crush members.
And half old people at
yeah.
Carmen.
But I thought it was, at least from my vantage point, the first half of the game I set up in the auxiliary press area, and maybe this is by design, but it looked from my vantage point that the Crush members that were there had purposefully positioned themselves behind Michigan's bench.
It looked like it,
yeah.
Yes. I thought the exact same thing, yes. Yes, and that's where you want the noise.
Yeah.
That's where you want them yelling at Juwan and everything else.
And they did that.
Yes. What was, okay, from your, in the crowd perspective, what was the biggest crowd moment? Like when Trent went off, or was it, you know, like when did you feel the energy of the crowd?
Probably it erupted for the Kofi dunk.
Yeah.
Because you knew he was going to dunk. As soon as, you know, the pass came in, he gathered himself. The Michigan guy goes by, the dunk, and we got going pretty good. It was also quiet at 45-44.
Yeah.
After the flop, second flop.
Yep.
That was called against us, the technical, and then, you know, they score. So, but then Trent gets on a what number heater is this year?
God, at least his third. Like, I mean, Arizona was a huge heater. Minnesota.
I mean, 11 straight points, I believe.
Yes, 11 straight. Four from the line, two layups, and a three.
Maryland, not Minnesota, Maryland.
Oh, yes, sorry. Sorry, I said the wrong school.
Yeah.
Yes. Maryland, Arizona, I mean, I guess he kind of did in some other games, but not like this, not like a Trent takeover.
So I'll actually lead this into Tyler because he loves Trent, and that was a warrior effort.
Yes.
Probably should have played 40 minutes, but we couldn't play him 40. Get hounded for 90 feet every time bringing the ball up.
Hurt. Knee is still not great. Shoulder's still braced.
But was on the floor how many times? After every layup he made, he was on the ground. And when he was out of the game, we struggled.
Yep.
He comes in the game exhausted and 11 straight points.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking last night, how much did Michigan fans hate Trent Frazier? You know how we hated certain, like we were talking about last night, Chris Kramer, A.J. Moyet, like these little scrappy guys that we freaking hated in the Big Ten. You know how much, like think of what he did to Michigan last year and then did last night. They have to absolutely hate the kid.
They get that vibe of, he's still in the league at that just settles sixth year or whatever. Like, how is he still playing in this conference and still killing us?
Yes.
And getting to the rim and making shots.
He's become an exceptional layup converter.
Finisher.
I mean, compared to previous seasons, really good. I mean, it helps when you have Kofi clearing space, but.
Okay, so then we have to talk about it. You know, we have this rule for hanging a jersey up there. You know, he's not going to be an All-American. But, I mean, wouldn't you want Frazier 1 hanging up there?
I think the rest of this season needs to play out. I think how this season finishes plays a large role in that.
It's a good point.
I mean, if we finish at 15-5 in the conference and Trent has, you know, continues with his exceptional, you know, he's playing it probably, and the Big Ten's got a lot of good players. I mean, I think half of the KenPom top 10 is five Big Ten players. So that's your first team all conference. He's probably at a second team or third team all conference this year. And so you're like, well, if you look at it in that frame of reference, he's not really a rafter guy. But, you know, and if you finish 15-5 in conference and you have a second round exit in the NCAA tournament, then yeah, you know, you look back in retrospect, he's like, probably not. But if this team does something special and Trent's a big part of that, then he maybe fits in that last category that they have established for kind of the subjective category. And maybe you, because he represents the start of the turnaround that you referenced in your article for this morning, that you could make that case. But I get it from an objective standpoint, probably not. But because I love him so much as a player, I would love to see his jersey in the Raptors.
Somebody sent me this great tweet response to something I said about Trent last night. And they said, basically, how you feel about Kiwon Garris is how I feel about Trent Frazier. And I was like, you know what? That's like so true. Like, I've spent the last 30, 25 years saying nobody understands how good Garris was. Nobody understands how good he was at finishing. He could finish from 89 degrees from the side of the rim and glance it off the glass. He just had this kind of sixth sense kind of thing. He was nails. I hate that he's remembered for the free throws in 93 against Missouri. You know, he single-handedly put us in the tournament in 97. Like, you know, he's this legend in my mind because it was my time frame and this and that. And for students right now, for this guy, it was a younger guy just saying, like, this is, I'm going to be telling people about Trent in 25 years of, like, you know, this warrior we had that just wouldn't quit. You know? I mean,
look at the role, though. He comes back expecting to play shooting guard. Bello goes down. Now he's not only our primary ball handler, our only ball handler.
Yeah, DeMonte is the backup. And
we saw how that went.
Yeah.
So then he's now 40 minutes of controlling the game, not running off screens.
Yeah, hey, Trent, you're injured, but we need you to play 40 minutes.
Right, and you have to score, and you have to facilitate, and you have to play lockdown defense, and you have to bring the effort and energy for every game. So, I mean...
And, oh, by the way, he almost flushed a dunk that we would have been talking about in 40 years.
That would have been the loudest of Assembly Hall, or ever. State Farm, ever.
Yes.
All of these things that we're talking about is why I feel like I've said this to numerous people numerous times over the last couple of weeks, that, you know, when we look back at this group of players over the last three seasons, obviously Io and Kofi will have their jerseys raised. They are both All-Americans, will be remembered forever as the best players of this group. But when I talk about this team or look back and remember this team or this group of players 5-10 years from now, I will always say Trent's my favorite player.
Is there something with the Frazier? I mean, you had Chester, you know, now you have Trent, and just the intangibles that they bring to the program. The, I mean, it. Chester always had it every game. Didn't matter if it was a Tuesday 8 p.m. game on, you know, during break with no crush. I mean, and Trent brings it all the time. I mean, he's the heart and soul of this team.
Yeah. That's yeah, that's I feel it. Like heart you know we're gonna have these. We're gonna have a team in the next 5-7 years that's you know gonna fall a little flat or whatever. You know they'll be ranked preseason. They're just not. It's not gonna happen. Whatever. It just happens. Michigan this year. It's happening to them, right? Like, you know, they were number 3 preseason, the number 1 recruiting class. They're ready to, you know, just keep rolling, and they're 7-7. So we're gonna have one of those teams, and I think when we have those teams, we're gonna look back and say like. Wow, like what would a Trent Frazier do for this team? What would that guy who just, fine, I'll do it. Oh, you just need me to be the defensive guy? I'll do it. Oh, I have to go back to point guard? I'll do it. Yep. All right. Got to score. Got to distribute. Just tell me what you need. You know, we're gonna need guys like him for years and years.
And shows up at practice every day giving 110%. There's no off day.
Oh, by the way, he's the best defender on the floor most nights too.
Yeah, oh, yes, he should be the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, right, which we haven't mentioned.
He drew the assignment on Eli Brooks to start the game, and through the course of the first half for Michigan, Devontae Jones got a little bit of heater after the next timeout. Guess who's on Devontae Jones and who's – it's Trent Frazier. Like Underwood says, okay, Plummer, you're back on Brooks. We'll put Trent on this guy who's going off and – that pretty much ended Devontae Jones's night.
Yeah, just think about offensively. It for a coach to have, you know, for Underwood, he has that moment. Hold on. Just think about how he has the tool he can reach into his bag and use for Underwood compared to what, you know, to be able to have a Swiss Army knife that can do, you know, what are those tools called that fold up and like, when one buddy carries it on his
Leatherman.
Belt.
Leatherman.
Yes, yes, yes. Just think of it as a Leatherman for a college basketball coach. It's like, oh, you need pliers? Oh, you need a knife? Wait, you got to clip your nails? I have one player who can do everything I need from him and doesn't complain and brings it every day and also is the heart and soul and the leader and the captain. And, you know, it's just.
Do we know how many charges he's taken in his career?
Yeah, good point.
There should be
804, I think, is the my unofficial.
Oh, I didn't watch the replay of that one. The first early block, in the first half was that I couldn't see.
I went back and watched it this morning, and they didn't do it. They didn't replay it, and so it was close.
Was it because his feet were?
That's what the ref. Ref pointed to the circle.
I couldn't see from my angle there, so.
Yeah.
But then you saw the difference. Eli Brooks then with 4 minutes to go. It was in perfect position to take a charge and ducks away. Mm-hmm. Trent would not have done that. And then you pick up a foul.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
A defensive foul instead of an offensive foul.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's – I mean, I don't want to go too crazy with the win just because there's no Dickinson, no Johns. And, like, fine, Michigan has been off and, you know, they really played tough. And, you know, I was really impressed with their defensive pressure. Like even Howard's son, like he had a couple plays of like, wow, that's some, you know, that one where he stole it from Hawkins or whatever, and you know they brought the toughness last night, and I thought I was impressed by them doing that in a game where they could have just kind of, oh, our star is out, we're gonna roll over, but yeah, you know, 36 minutes or 34 minutes of that, and then just a complete takeover, just like the Nebraska game, so. Well, it's so crazy. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, their plan to stop Kofi had nothing to do with Kofi and the center. It was their perimeter on-ball defense that literally was suffocating, and we could not get a passing angle in there. And you saw Kofi for stretches be non-existent because our offensive player was so worried about the defender that they couldn't even make an entry pass.
Mm-hmm.
Credit to Brett Underwood for the adjustment at halftime. And I should preface this with – you know, obviously it was a grind of a first half, and it seems like, oh, it's Dickinson is out, and the immediate vibe on press row and, you know, listening to the crowd is, oh, well, this game just lost a lot of luster, and now it's going to be a blowout. But I guarantee the coaching staff was panicking because they had spent the last 48 hours doing nothing but game plan. I'm sure that the players on the plane back from Nebraska got the scouting report for Michigan handed to them. It revolved around Hunter Dickinson, and you scheme it both on offense, what they're going to do and how you're going to counter them and vice versa. And then 15 minutes before the game, everything changes. And, you know, for the first half, we were disjointed. And in the second half, after you get a chance to regroup, what you saw was we sent a lot more ball screens out on top of the floor to free up those ball handlers, as opposed to just leaving them on an island like they were in the first half and kind of struggling. And that's when that allowed Frazier and Plummer to get some dribble drives and free up the floor. So I do give the coaching staff some credit to making those adjustments at halftime after a little of a scramble to start the game.
Yeah, if people ever wonder why teams will wait until 20 minutes before the game to say, oh, he's out. Yes, this is, you know why it's such a big deal with NFL football of like you cannot lie on your injury report because other teams are preparing and, you know, they try and, he's questionable while he's going to play. Oh, he's out while he is, you know, it's a big deal to prep like that. You were about to say something.
Yeah, so I was just going to say also our perimeter defense we should really discuss because I think their line was 1 of 10 from three, and the only one they hit was off an offensive rebound. Ball. And Michigan shoots threes, playing the 4-out, 1-in, mm-hmm. point guard probes and kicks. And yes, you give up some layups, and we saw that today. But every shot other than the one they made was contested, and they took 10 three-pointers on a team that's a three-point shooting team.
Yeah,
analytics guys will always say it's not about the percentage that shows how good of a three-point defensive team you are. It's how many three-point shots you actually allow the other team to take, which affects your three-point defense more than anything. Because, you know, most teams will shoot enough threes, their stats will find their way. But if you can prevent the threes from even happening, that's what makes the difference. And that's what happened last night.
Okay, we got Northwestern 46, Michigan State 44, 6 minutes into the second half. Yeah. So let's just go on the record before we get to that. How many free throws for Michigan State in the final 4 minutes?
Final 4 minutes will be 7.
Okay. They go to the line 7 times or they shoot 7? Go to the line 7 times. Okay. So it could be 14 free throws.
No, 7 free throw attempts in 4 minutes.
Okay.
If the game – so I don't want to make this too complicated because if – Northwestern's trailing and gets into I got a foul situation that's going to be rocketed. But as long as we're in a 1 or 2 possession game, I think that's a good number. I'll say 8 just to be contrarian.
I'm going 12. They are going to have 12 free throw attempts in the final 4 minutes. 12 free throw.
Who's the crew?
I didn't look it up. I'll look it up. I can find it because I can do the stat broadcast.
What's our record now with Larry?
Oh, good question. We should keep that.
We should be thankful that we got him last night, and that likely means he won't show up for. And we're talking about Larry Sciarrato for those of you who are wondering who Larry is, the bane. the bane of Illinois fan ref hatred.
All right, let's go through that. That's the next topic because we kind of talked about it last night. So my three, and people always hate the first one. I'm going to name. If I could pick three Big Ten refs to work an Illinois game, and I feel comfortable they're not going to. I'll just get it out of the way. I don't hate Bo Borowski, and I'm okay when he works a game. He's in control. Yeah, I understand why you hate him sometimes, but I don't hate Bo. So I want DJ Carstensen, I want Bo Borowski, and I want Paul Sell.
I'm fine with those three.
You don't hate Bo?
No, Bo actually at least keeps it under control.
Yeah.
Yesterday was getting they refereed two different games.
Yes. Yes.
First half, second half, and I think with 8 minutes to go, there was a total of 8 fouls. One was an illegal screen, and 2 were on DeMonte going through a screen. And I'm like, then there's a total of 5 total fouls for between the teams and 12 minutes of basketball.
Right. No. Right. Right.
Yeah, I think DJ Carstensen is the linchpin there. I think everyone thinks he gives a good whistle, and I'm not an anti Bo guy.
A good whistle. That's some basketball talk right there. Keep going.
I'm not a huge Bo fan. Although not to the degree of Sherrod, I think Borowski is more of those guys though, that he likes to be part of the show, which always rubs me the wrong way a little bit. But as far as other than those three, I'm not going to say that I have a huge affinity one way or the other for yeah. I mean, the ref should be, I should not know who they are, yeah. to be honest.
Yeah. I like Courtney Green. Mm-hmm. He's been good and consistent. I've never liked Kelly Pfeiffer.
That's who I had captured Brad Underwood's attention. He was by far the target of Underwood's and the coaching staff's ire last night, much more so than Sherrata was last night. Yeah. He had nothing but anger for Pfeiffer last night.
Yep. Let's see who else.
Did Hawkins actually foul the 3-point shooter on the replay?
I didn't see. I couldn't tell.
I think the replay showed there was nothing.
We could have a long discussion about Houston. That. Yeah.
He only made one of three.
We could have a long discussion here about how 3-point shooters are so protected versus a layup, someone driving to the basket. Yeah. That was one of those situations. Like, you know, if on a dribble drive, if you get a clean block, but then you truck the guy after the block, there's never a foul called.
Yep.
But such last night, if you like in that situation with the 3-pointer goes up, and if you make contact with the ball cleanly, but then you continue on into the shooter, they will call that foul every time. Or in the case last night, that shot was clear and gone. It was out of his hand. And if Hawkins did touch him, it was well after the shot had been released and had no bearing on the shot after that. And I know they're trying to protect landing zones and stuff, but, you know, and again, it ultimately didn't matter. It happened when we were up 10 points with two minutes left or whatever, and it's just another source of frustration for Brad Underwood. But I just have a fundamental irritation with how they referee 3-point shooters versus how they referee dribble drip penetration versus how they referee post play. It's just so inconsistent.
Or even the Brad Underwood kick out, or I'm sorry, Brad Davidson kick out. Like, that's the one that drives me the most. That, like, oh, this guy's trying to block it from the side. I'll shoot and just send my leg out. Like, yes, I have my own issues with how 3-pointers are defended. Like, on the other side, like, if that happened last night and Plummer was shooting and somebody, after he released it, glanced him or, you know, whatever Hawkins did, I want that call. Like, I'm very non-consistent with that 3-point call. Any contact, I want 3 free throws.
Then you are consistent.
What?
So then they're calling it both ways, which is what you want. The fact is they weren't.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so I think we need to switch to Purdue here. This is where Carmen's going to start getting growly and grumbly and upset.
Must hate team.
Uh-huh.
Carmen does not like the process of talking things into happening. To even talk about what Purdue might be able to do against us in a positive way.
Yes.
Could possibly will that into existence.
Yeah.
And that just does not sit well with
Carmen. Here, watch this. I'll just say this to you and let's see if he can resist. You know, Jaden Ivey, he's pretty good. You know, like he's a consistent scorer and he really does have a jump shot. Carmen, your thoughts?
I'll pass.
Actually, I'll rat Carmen out. We had this discussion before we got on the mics here earlier today in that prior to this season, I was not sold on Purdue because I thought Jaden Ivey was a little too shooty. I think his usage was too high, and I figured he would be the kind of guy that would shoot them into some games but also shoot them out of some games. But he's been a conservative offensive player and under control and 10, 11 shots a game, and I think Purdue's a formidable challenge.
Absolutely agree with that. I'm like, before the season, Ivy will lead the Big Ten in scoring. He will be high volume shooter, 20 plus a game, and that will actually hurt them. I mean, he'll look good when he hits a 3-pointer to win the game, but also he can go 1-for-9 and right shoot him out of a game. I'm absolutely shocked that he is not even, I don't even think he's number one in shots for Purdue. And
they don't go, like, if it's late in the game, it's going to Travion Williams.
Right, it's a
he's
post play.
He's not their closer right. at all in any way.
Yes. He's been very under control, so.
Yeah.
But I've been on the sell Purdue when they got to number one. I'm like, don't worry about it. Sell them. They're not as good as you. They're a good team. Don't get me wrong. They're but they're not number one good.
Where they have struggled is their defense hasn't been great. In conference play, and to your point, I just looked up KenPom. Yeah, the on usage, Ivy's third in usage on that team behind Williams and Zach Edey. So obviously, these are like mirrored image teams of each other. They run both teams are going to run inside out. Both teams are going to be able to single cover the post, and it's going to be one of those situations where probably the team that has the best night from three-point line will win the game, and hopefully we're due for a heater since we've been struggling over the last several games.
What's your game plan to attack what they do? Like, how would you set up the defense? This is the best interior we're going to face probably all year, right? Like, the best test for Kofi with two guys who, you know, bring, you know, they just rotate them in and out, and they bring a little bit different offensive games, and they, you know, this is going to be even a test for Payne when he has to come in for his 6 minutes. Like, that's a, you know, what would you
do? That's Purdue's singular challenge, is that when Kofi goes out for a breather, the production level drops precipitously. When I think Zach Edey starts for them.
Yep.
When Edey goes out, they're bringing in another All Big Ten candidate right off the bench, and so you know that they're gonna. And they split. They don't share time really, but
yeah, don't share time to the point that I think the stat was they've played 14 seconds together this season or something like that. Like, it's crazy how much they don't play them together. It's just one or the other.
After the Purdue game that Robert referenced in his article this morning, the one that kind of kickstarted this whole Big Ten rampage we've been on over the last
63-37 January 5th, 2020.
Yeah, Matt Painter had a really, really thoughtful and well stated response to a question about playing two big guys together in the post game after, you know, because we were trying to work with at that time with Georgie and with Kofi, and they had at that point, it was Trevion Williams and somebody else that they had, maybe the big guy that went to Brigham Young, 7'4".
Isaac?
Not Haas, but the other kid. The hair.
Yeah.
The guy with the floppy hair. Oh, my God.
How can Harms. I hate some? Matt Harms.
Matt Harms. They had Harms and Trevion Williams on the team, and one of the questions was about, you know, them sharing time, and the way that Painter answer that question, you know, sticks with me to this day, because he basically talked about really detailed reasoning why you just can't put two big guys on the court like that, how it just sucks everything away for the rest of the offense, and it really limits you on defense and so on and so forth. So that's been his philosophy for several seasons now, and then they always have a stable of one or two or three gigantic humans.
Well, then the obvious question, as you so aptly named the defense last night, of our barge package. So when we had Kofi and Bosman's Verdonk and Hawkins, is that the three bigs we played together? Could you utilize that against them?
I don't think so. I think that was just Underwood being mad. That was into the first half, I should say. He was mad the entire first half at the lack of effort from with Damonte Williams, actually. And so I think that was just a kind of a throwaway couple possessions that I would be surprised if we ever saw that again. So
yeah.
I don't see a situation where that works against Purdue at all. I think you will see the challenge will be, as it is with the teams guarding Kofi, is when you're going to play them straight up, like Kofi will be able to guard whoever straight up. Payne, when he's in the game, will probably do the same. It's just, can we figure out ways to free up our shooters? Because Purdue's going to run it the same way.
Yep.
And then, you know, Williams and Kofi have played each other several times, and Kofi's always come away from that matchup really on top of that matchup. He's been much better player. Edey didn't really factor in much the last time we played Purdue, which was January of last season. Obviously, he's developed into a much better player. So, I'm not sure how you deal with his bulk, especially on the offensive glass, because he's really good at that. And so, I think Coleman Hawkins has a chance to be a factor in the game on Monday, because Coleman he's a good offensive rebounder when he can stay on the floor. So, I think if we're looking for an X factor from our perspective, other than hopefully coming out of this little mini shooting slump we're in, it's can Coleman make a contribution on the glass to help negate some of that?
You were shaking your head.
Yeah, I don't think you have to play big versus Purdue, because they only play one big. And when Kofi gets the breather, you could bring in Payne. And I would also potentially see Hawkins playing a little five due to his length, because Edie's not going to, you know, bang you down, you know.
Yeah.
But it's going to be guard play. right? If Purdue has a weakness, it's their point guard. Our guard, we can't turn the ball over. We had quite a few trying to feed the post some really bad passes in there, live ball turnovers, and that's and Ivy actually has been, you know, he goes for steals, plays defense, and you cannot let him get live ball runouts. I mean, that's just giving away 2 points. It's like Io, right? Io in the open court was a guaranteed 2 points, and you prevent that because that just, you know, gives you offensive efficiency, those easy points. So it's going to come down to, you know, I don't think it's a Kofi versus the Purdue big matchup. It's going to be live ball turnovers, rebounding, and defending the three-point line. Sasha can't get hot. Gillis actually has turned into a very efficient three-point shooter. But their guard plays weak. So you want Thompson shooting the ball. You want certain guys to shoot the ball. You want Thompson to shoot the ball. You want when Hunter's in the game, he needs to shoot the ball. So you got to funnel that defense to guys they don't want to shoot.
Yep. And last night, what we were talking about this at Marianne's, we looked it up. Wasn't it like Sasha was 1 for 7 from 3 and Thompson was 0 for 6 or something like that? Like they
scored 90 points with their guards shooting that percent.
Yeah.
No. In which game?
Nebraska last night.
Oh, last night.
Their main two shooters, if you don't count Ivy, but like, you know, Thompson and Savanovic were, 1 for 13 combined from 3 or something like that.
This game just fascinates me because this Purdue team that we're seeing has no resemblance whatsoever to the last time we played this same Purdue team with basically the same players. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the box score from January 2nd, 2021. So 1 year ago, Illinois wins 66-58. Zach Edey plays only 13 minutes. Jaden Ivey plays 14 minutes. Those guys weren't even factors at the Purdue team that was in existence a year ago.
Mm-hmm. And so Newman started, I believe, right?
Yeah, Brandon Newman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Ivy to me is, you know, if Coleman Hawkins is our wild card, I think Jaden Ivey is for them because we've struggled with big, strong shooting guards like what was the guy from Arizona who just torched us, Mathurin.
Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Benedict.
This, for example.
This will be the Arizona game. This will be high scoring. And I think we like playing that style.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up and down, running. Multiple,
Plummer loves it.
Yeah, multiple
Plummer
possessions.
Way more comfortable.
So I think in what we've done in the past is we've put Trent on Stefanovic, and that's been, I mean, really a positive matchup for us. Stefanovic has done nothing to speak of against us the last two seasons. I would guess that DeMonte gets the assignment on Ivy and bring it.
And Plummer on Thompson, Grandison on Gillis, and then your big man battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to – we have to remember, like, North Texas, right? Like, Purdue is not, you know, Carmen and I were at, let's see, was it the day of the Drexel game?
Boom.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm going to do the thing where if I can find that audio, I'm going to play it right here. Hold on, I'm going to do a little pause. If I can find the audio, I'm going to play it right here.
Yes, I can. Get more out of zero. Now available
with Rod Perry is the nose guard.
Two ends.
This overtime is made possible.
Randolph.
Ooh.
And Carney.
No, you can't use Carney. Carney is an OLB, and they said he will play with his hand up. He's not a defensive end. He's a linebacker.
People say a lot of things, Carney.
I said going into spring practice right now, I am not saying you cannot use Carney as that.
Carney, Randolph, and Perry. And then your hybrid outside guy is self-coming. Your ROLB.
Fine. Give me your three linebackers.
Hanson.
Cooper.
Tolson.
Hanson is the Will. Who's going to play the mic?
Give me Tolson at the mic.
Tolson at the mic.
And send me Cooper outside.
As your Sam? All right, your secondary.
Devin Witherspoon.
Yep.
Tony Adams.
I agree.
Safeties are Eddie Smith and Sidney Brown.
Okay, all right.
Any disruptions?
Yeah, I'm going to go by what I saw on the roster here, so I'm going to go Jerhaz Newton as an ad.
It's Jerzan. Jerhaz?
Jerhaz.
Jerzan.
Jerzan.
Just call him Johnny.
Johnny. Johnny Newton. Yeah. Johnny Utah as an ad.
Yeah, how do I not have Johnny Newton starting?
You just, I don't know. It's fine, you're going.
It's my Keith Randolph love.
Boom! Oh, sorry.
You're going to get beat.
Is that a loud boom?
Okay, Johnny Newton.
Jamal Woods.
Good Lord. Where's Perry?
Perry is your guard. Nose tackle.
Got it. Okay, so you got Woods, Perry, Newton.
Yeah. Because Owen Carney is now an outside linebacker playing with his hand up. Mm-hmm. He will be, who was the guy for Pittsburgh for all those years? The 270-pound.
Aaron Donald?
No, Pittsburgh.
Oh. Are we talking NFL?
NFL.
You think I'm going to remember an NFL?
NFL,
and
Pittsburgh. No, stand up.
James Harrison?
James, thank you. Owen Carney will play the James.
That was a good one.
That was very good.
I don't know the NFL at all. That was
well, you hit it 100%. All right. Carney as your rush linebacker.
Okay. Oh.
You know, here, that's
is that Bo? No. Was that Bo?
Bo do it?
You drove him out of here.
What the fuck are people leaving?
You drove him out of here.
Boom?
Boom. He's pissed off. He doesn't want to beat your ass. And so he left.
Boom.
Yes. He was thinking you were kind of with him, and we're like, oh, and then he's like, oh.
I could have been booing the Clemson Rutgers game.
Oh, you got to make that.
Boom. Carney is your James Harrison rush linebacker.
Okay. Keep going.
Will.
Yep.
Hanson.
Okay.
Barnes.
Yep.
Mike.
Yep.
Sam. Calvin Hart.
Where's Tolson?
I like Tolson. And I agree with your secondary. Because Adams is a corner.
Yes, Adams a corner.
Everyone who says he's a safety doesn't know jack shit. That's a travel.
Are they going to lose an OT?
I'm getting mouthy. Is there anyone in the bar? No.
What happened to the Purdue couple that was sitting right here?
Driving home.
Are they over here?
No.
I mean, there's a coat right there.
Maybe.
Guys, how we doing?
I'll have one more.
Yeah, he needs one.
Yeah.
He's not even driving. Oh!
Oh! Coach is a little fired up. What would happen if that guy would have beat your ass? That would have been awesome.
What would you have done?
I'd have defended my friend.
No, you wouldn't. You'd have been videotaping it.
Take this in the meantime.
Thank you.
Okay, what that was Carmen and I after the Drexel game. Didn't we went to the bar after the Drexel game?
Yeah, somewhere in North Indianapolis.
Yes.
And we were watching.
We were watching Purdue, North Texas, in a Purdue bar. Our waitress, the two waitresses we had during that time, both had Purdue shirts on. There's a bunch of Purdue fans in there, which just makes him so, so bitter. And so we're watching it. It went to overtime?
Overtime.
Yeah, went to overtime. There's a guy and his wife right next to us at the table wearing Purdue gear. We're obviously wearing orange, bright orange Illinois shirts because we had just come from our game, and North Texas hit a big three, right? Like with like a minute and a half to go, Carmen screams, "Boom!" This guy gets pissed off. Like, look, he's obviously not a North Texas fan. He shouldn't be screaming like this. So the guy left. Like, I think he was doing the, look, we're going to lose this, and I don't want to watch the last minute and a half of this thing.
And we're out. Let's go. Yes. Check, please.
Yes, we're check. Out we're out. This is, I'm not talking to anybody for the next half hour. But still, he was not happy with you for screaming. I guess I'm probably building it up. I'll play the clip.
The
here
audio doesn't do it justice. Yes. We listened to it before, and it's not.
Uh-huh.
It was just a spontaneous
I believe
eruption.
We were talking about who the linebackers would be for...
the upcoming football season for us. Yes. Kind of just keeping an eye on the game. Like, Purdue's going to win. Don't worry.
Is CJ Hart going to be this? And then, out of nowhere, boom.
All I care about is matching up what you just did, saying boom, with the actual audio clip that you paste into this.
Okay.
That's what I mean. I want to see how close you were able to reproduce that sound.
Bob's boom is a lot louder because the microphone's here as opposed to an iPhone sitting.
That's right. iPhone sitting on the table.
Away from
Why were we even recording? Oh, I was doing, that's right, I was going to do that podcast with all the sights and sounds of Indianapolis. But then I buried that podcast because, you know, something bad happened on Sunday. God, I just brought myself so far down just saying that. Okay, so where are we at in the where are we at in the game?
7 minutes left. We're right at our point we were going to start tracking free throws. 51-50 Northwestern.
No, under four.
Oh, I thought you said under seven.
Mm-hmm. Under four. Uh-huh. 51-50. So everybody's having their Van Halen moment, right? We're all old enough to have a Van Halen moment when anyone says 51-50, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're all thinking it. Love comes walking in, right?
What's a foul situation, though? That's the key.
Oh, yes. Let's go to the box.
If it's 2-2, then it's not going to happen. I'm hoping for like a 6-5, maybe already a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
6-6?
Let's see. Oh, this just, the app I have open just gives total fouls in the game, 13-12. So I would have to go to something else.
So it's a very disappointing Big Ten basketball slate today that we're actually tracking. This is the best game, and we're tracking free throws and fouls of a Northwestern Michigan State
game. The only other game on the schedule in the Big Ten is Maryland Rutgers, which is also kind of.
Okay, so where, when we tip off on Monday, and the AP poll comes out quite literally as the ball is being tipped. By the way, that ball Larry threw for the opening tip was, I'm not kidding, 3 feet on the Michigan side.
It was too high to see.
It went up at a 78-degree angle. And Kofi still got a hand on it. Like I feel like the Michigan guy was like almost thinking like, okay, he's gonna blow his whistle. Like, okay, I kind of screwed that up. Sorry, guys. But it was straight left. Anyway, where are we going to be ranked? 22? 21?
Yeah, probably.
Don't care.
You don't care?
Don't care. Uh-huh. It's January.
Somebody asked a great question on the little live Twitter Spaces things last night. Like the little Chiron, the little thing that I put on the screen, it'll say 25 Illinois and 7 Purdue or whatever. You think they'll change it in like the first time out and it'll come back and be like 21-6? I mean, how often does the AP poll change mid-game? We'll see. Okay, anything else?
Some of that depends on who else loses the rest of the weekend, you know, so.
Yep.
But yeah, 21-22 doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You got a monster game. Probably the pinnacle of the home season is this game, maybe Michigan State in a couple weeks, but this is the game besides Michigan that everyone had circled this weekend is like, where we find out what we know about this team moving forward. So, struggled the last few games, really. You know, he struggled against Maryland. After you had a really good effort against Minnesota, then you struggled against Maryland, struggled against Nebraska, struggled against Michigan. I think we're probably due for a good offensive night or a day, I should say.
Yes.
And like Carmen was saying, I think it comes down to who can defend the 3-point line.
Yeah, and let's, you know, again, it's going to be a little weird. I mean, I know we have weekend 11 a.m. games, but I can't even think of the last early weekend game we had.
It's like a tournament game.
Yeah.
11 a.m. weekday.
Yeah, 11 a.m. is just going to be weird, even for the players to get into that mindset by 11 a.m. It's just really odd. I mean, Monday, who cares? If they're playing on a Sunday at 11, they'd have to do it. But, just really weird. Okay, I know you got to get on the road, so let's get to the parting thoughts here. So, where are you at coming out of this one, 6-0 in the Big Ten, heading into Purdue?
Love Trent forever, and 6-0 in the Big Ten puts you in a really good place. I don't like to start playing equity, but you're in a place now where you can go 500 in conference the rest of the way and still be probably a 4 or 5 seed that puts you at, 13, 14 Big Ten wins.
Yeah, 7-7 would get you to 13-7.
Again, obviously the season's going to play out, but I'm just happy to have this program back at a level where you can just enjoy a college basketball game like you're going to enjoy on Monday and not stress over how it affects the every single bubble machination.
Yep.
And after every game, I'm going to check the bracketology to see, are we trending up? Are we trending down? You know, we're back on the map. We're relevant. I'm looking forward to a spending my lunch hour watching hoops on Monday.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I'll give you party thoughts and then I'll go.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I stress out of every possession. So I think...
in the moment, I still do. But after the games, in between the games, I've developed a perspective that I didn't have 5 years ago.
Sitting next to Matt, I think I said, this is the most important possession, every possession under 8 minutes in the second half. So, no, probably the biggest home game in quite some time. Hope the 11 a.m. start. Hope the fans show up. And this is a special team, and the fans, I mean, this is what you want, right? You're 6-0. You have a very good top 10 basketball team coming into your place. And, you know, we're expected to win, and we need the fans to be there. And we've been had C-minus games, but I think, you know, Michigan, Nebraska, Maryland, they kind of muck it up a bit, slow it down. It's, you know, it becomes a possession game. And I think this will get a little up-tempo. The environment for Arizona was phenomenal. There was a lot of offense. And I think you're going to see that on Monday.
Yeah. And before you give your final thoughts, let me just make one note on this Northwestern Michigan State game, which is now at the 4-minute mark. Northwestern took a lead on a Chase Audit three-pointer to go up 57-52. Mm-hmm. The very next possession, Michigan State makes a three and gets fouled.
Of course.
And they convert a four-point play.
But it doesn't. That free throw doesn't even count because it's before the 4 minutes.
I just say that's the beginning of the end for Northwestern. You're going to see this.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we predicted it like this.
Yeah.
Because now it gets to play out. Okay, here's my parting thought. Remember the 2013-2014 season, so Gross's second year. Right at the beginning of the year is when Cliffmas happened. And, both Quentin Snyder decommitted and Cliff picked Kansas. Like, we were all in such a good mood up until that moment. We had just been in the tournament as a 7 seed. We had a decent year. Hung around. Everybody talks about the Tracy Abrams floater against Michigan in the Big Ten tournament. That could have maybe given us one more big win. We ended up as, a 2 seed in the NIT? So we were close, to getting one of the last four in kind of thing. That season we had 7 Big Ten wins. Right now we have 6 Big Ten wins on January 15th. Like, it's so hard to remember. You know, Big Ten wins back then were just so, 13, 14, 12. 2016, 2017, Big Ten wins were so hard to come by.
I don't want to remember that.
Yeah, and here we are, 6-0. And I know we haven't played, Michigan's struggling, and, Iowa's the big win, on the road. But, we're seeing other teams go and really struggle at Minnesota and at Nebraska. And, it's just crazy to me to be at 6 Big Ten wins already when we've had so many seasons where we just didn't even get there. So, I can't think of anything better. Okay, we're right at an hour. Let's go watch the last 10 minutes just so we can laugh at whatever calls Michigan State gets from the refs.
Northwestern, I believe, is going to the line right now.
Okay.
They're in the under 4 media timeout. I think Northwestern probably has free throws coming. So we'll see.
All right. Well, let's see here. So this would be, Northwestern wins this. We're solo first. Can I get a Go Cats from you, Carmen? On the
they're not going to win.
Okay.
Go Cats.
Doesn't even matter.
I can't say that either.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll talk soon. ILL.
I know.